Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible.
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Team Chat, IGN's Destiny Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me in the studio is Fran Mirabella.
Hey, I'm back. What's up?
And we have Glad in via Discord continuing the guest. Glad, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I like this. I like bringing friends on via Discord, having them able to join us from afar. Yeah. And Fran all the way from the other side of town.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly.
CJ and Brian are taking a break because they busted their butts during Comic-Con for IGN. They deserve the rest, but they will be back shortly, just so everybody knows where those guys are at. But on today's episode, we're going to be talking a lot about the Solstice of Heroes and everything that you need to know about Solstice of Heroes and what is coming down the road. We're also going to talk about some of the fan questions that you guys sent in. I put out a tweet, got a few good ones that I thought would be fun to discuss with the two guests of the show today. And yeah, we'll probably talk about how we feel about what it's going to take to masterwork the Solstice set. Fran, why don't you take it away? What is coming right around the corner with Solstice of Heroes? When does it start?
Wow, he's just relying on me. I'm amazed, actually. That I'm gonna do that.
I trust you.
Yeah, Solstice of Heroes, which starts on July 30th and runs through August 27th, I believe. The big thing, obviously, is that you're going to be able to earn this new Armor 2.0.
And your first Armor 2.0 set.
Yeah, and you'll be able to pick that up, I believe, was it from the Gunsmith?
Yep.
Once it's done, but this is in Shadowkeep. So that's like the really big thing that everybody's talking about, I assume. Mm-hmm. That's what you wanted to segue into.
Yeah, for sure. So with the Armor 2.0 stuff, and we'll start with our guest, Glad, of course. What do you think that you're going to try and build into? Because, yes, we're going to collect it during Solstice of Heroes. It's really exciting that we're going to have this awesome-looking, you know, new set. I actually use it as the background if you're watching the video version.
Ooh.
Updated.
I see it
a little bit. It's nice.
Those ornaments.
Yeah.
It is a nice.
The ornaments
nice
are
set.
Cool.
But stat wise, we know you're going to kind of rank this up and build up the stats that you want to. What are you going to be aiming towards, Glad? I know you do all your crazy raid stuff. So are you? You're probably going to try and break it, right?
Yeah. So I actually have a lot of thoughts on the armor situation. So I think starting with the menagerie and the way that they did the, what did they call that? The seasonal mods or whatever, so prior to the mod system that we have now for the season of opulence gear, anything that is, has the little chalice next to the armor, you had, you know, striking hand that was attached to your gloves, and you had things that were involved with your supers and your grenade attached to your helmet, and you had increased energy damage that was attached to your boots. Everything was sort of allotted to a very specific piece, so your builds were kind of limited in Destiny, and Destiny 2 so far has really been very limited in the types of build complexity that you can put together, and it's something that I always thought that the game could improve upon drastically. But with the Season of Opulence, they've introduced now how you can put mods on any piece anywhere you want. So you can stack certain things, for example, Giving Hand and Striking Hand. And I think that was an excellent step in the right direction, because now you're able to put together a lot of builds in the game, which is something that we hadn't really seen before. And with the whole 2.0 now, given I don't really know much about it, I don't think a lot of people really do. We don't know the details yet. But from the looks of the videos that we've seen, you know, the brief glimpses that we've caught on monitors, it looks like there's going to be a handful of mods out. So virtually every, let's say, take all the table of perks that we have now, it looks like we're almost going to be able to select those and put them in, and they're not going to be random anymore. So we're going to be able to piece together, you know, on our pieces of gear not only affect the way that they look, but affect the perks and how our build's going to synergize together. So I'm super optimistic about it, and I really hope that that it gives us a lot of options and a lot of, you know, the ability to sort of change things around, like a lot of diversity compared to what we have now.
Yeah, and what we know, Fran, I'll let you add in just a second, we know that we have the current armor system, we have mods that we're going to be able to apply in this new system, and this strength is coming back, and that's about it. They did have an article in Polygon just about that. Yes, you power up your armor to increase its capacity, which lets you equip more mods. We don't know how many, we don't know what that power increase is going to be. A lot of questions up in the air.
That was the perfect segue. What I was wondering about is, do we have any idea how the Int Disc strength works? Because before, you would be trying to roll armor, right, that mm-hmm. had the right mix.
Want your T12 set.
Right. So do we know if, like, it's going to be mod-related at this point, or is it all speculation? Like, in other words, can you create the Int Disc strength build you want, or do you need to roll armor that's going to have that intrinsic stat?
No idea, and I haven't seen anything specifically about that. If I had to guess, I'm guessing it's going to be sort of a marriage of the two systems, the two old systems and the new system all working together. And if you want that T12 set, you're going to have to stat them all a very specific way. And I think there will be a new version of T12 is referencing Destiny 1 Int Disc strength thing, where you could have like fully cooled down super, and then, you know, you would usually, what was it? It was like 5-5-2, right?
Super grenade melee.
Yep. Yeah. So you would have 5 for the max cooldown in super, 5 for the max cooldown in grenade, and then 2 in the grenade in the melee, or however you wanted to rearrange that.
Yeah.
But as long as you had 12
total points
allocated.
So what's interesting is we have class abilities now.
Yeah.
So
fourth heat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like, is Int Disc strength going to affect grenade melee class ability, and is it not going to touch super at all? Or are they going to add, you know, a fourth thing? How's that going to work? Because that's interesting.
Yeah, it's fine. I guess now that you're saying it, I assume that it would just, the speed it mm-hmm. generates ability would be the speed of super or something, but I don't know. Yeah, like, how do you think, do you think it's going to be role based though for this Into Strength glad, or do you think maybe it could be mod based? That, like, once you get a set of armor, you're trying to get mods now or something.
I honestly have no idea. Anything that I would say would be total speculation, to be honest.
You know everything, don't you? It's like a canned NDA document that Glad's got prepared. I don't know. No, I'm just messing with you.
Thinking back in the day, the only thing that I didn't love about the Int Disc strength system is because you had to like get so many points to get one of those pure whited out squares, and then that's how you got your T12. I'm wondering if I think that's going to.
I'm sure it will change. I mean, that's my gut feeling, and like I'm liking. I guess it was a leading question for me. Like, I'm liking where all the mods are going. And when we learned that actually not only is there going to be a finishing emote, you know, that you can choose the style of finisher you want, and they said, oh, by the way, there's now going to be a perk for the finisher, but it's not the emote slot. It's not tied to it. It's a separate finisher mod. So I'm starting to get this sense that there's going to be quite a few mods, and then also you're leveling up your armor. That for me is, I think I'm hopeful because I have a vault problem, okay? So rolling armor and trying to like find the max stuff, I'll hold on to like 7 versions of something, and then I just get overwhelmed, and then I think I give up eventually. Where I think my dream is find a full armor set, and now you're grinding for mods and you're grinding for leveling it up, and that for me would be a cleaner system.
So a lot of people are asking, and I'm curious myself about what armors are going to work with armor 2.0 system. We know that the Eververse armor sets are going to be a part of it.
As ornaments,
yes. I'm a little unclear about which sets we know are coming over. Glad, do you know if there's been a list compiled about stuff that we know for
sure? This is the only one, right?
Well, we know about Eververse. We know about the Solstice of Heroes set. But beyond that, like, what about my Black Armory set? Is that going to be included in Armor 2.0? Who knows, you know?
Yeah, I don't think we know any of that information yet. Mm-hmm. If it's anything like this DLC, they're keeping it exclusive to Raid Gear, Eververse, and Menagerie. So Pinnacle Activities and Crucible as well. So I would think that maybe they might keep it to Pinnacle, PvE, and Crucible Activities and not just random drops throughout the world.
Mm-hmm. I think,
but maybe not.
Yeah,
maybe not.
I want those planetary sets in there. Like, what sets do we want in there? The planetary sets, the Crucible sets, the Iron Banner sets for sure. You know, because I've gotten all the ornamentation. I think Iron Banner is the one that's going to translate the easiest because it already has the ornamentation system implemented. Mm-hmm. What about you?
Yeah, it's funny. I'm so ready to start with like just new armor and get new stuff, and obviously earning Solstice on the backside of year two, that makes sense. So now you got me going back to when I first saw Armor 2.0 and the ornament system. I thought probably a ton of stuff would be available, I guess. But in other words, I guess I love having options. So for me, it's easy to say, like, why not give us, you know, like you said, planetary sets, right? Mm-hmm. Give us everything for the most part, except the stuff that sucks. So in other words, a lot versus a little, but I don't know.
This set is awesome.
Yeah.
I know I said it at the beginning of the show, but the new Season of Opulence set looks absolutely dope. Are you a fan, Glad?
Yeah, so I've always been a fan of, are you talking about the Solstice or Season
Solstice,
of Opulence?
Solstice, okay. Yeah, sorry.
So the Solstice Warlock set from last year will always be one of my favorites. Or I don't know if you remember what it looked like with the big fur and all that stuff. It was the one that they had. Yeah. Amazing set. So I always thought they did a good job with the aesthetics of gear for this summer event.
Yeah, actually, there's a perfect example. Like, now that you're saying it, I'm like, well, I also want that Solstice to come over as. So here's what's interesting, right? You were asking about ornaments, or were you saying Armor 2.0?
Because Armor 2.0 is going to utilize the ornamentation system largely.
Right. But if I'm understanding this correctly, right, like Solstice armor will be 2.0 armor, right?
Yes.
So in other words...
And it uses the ornamentation system, because if you have the 2.0 version, the masterwork version
supports
that we have here, you can make it look like crap if you want.
Right. You can make it look different. Where I was going with this is, and I think reflecting on my question, I now even need to clarify... For the ornament side of things, I hope we get a lot of options. Like, if you got a full menagerie set or a pinnacle, this set or that, it'd be nice to have that option to make your armor 2.0 look like that. And let's use the example of what Glad just said. It'd be awesome if you have Solstice armor from this year that is 2.0, but if he likes the set from last year, he can make it look like it. And I guess, right?
Yeah. I was going to say, by the way, I had a brain fart there and was thinking of the winter set for the Warlock.
Yeah, you said
fall. My point. Yeah,
dawning,
but my
right?
I just looked it up and I was like, okay, totally just had a brain fart there.
But
my point is, it's nice to have. I think they do a good job with these seasonal events, whether it's summer or winter. You know, get them confused.
Okay.
I think they do a good job with the pieces.
Yeah,
of
Solstice
gear.
Was last year's all that really glowy stuff. Obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
I
don't know why my brain just went straight to the winter set.
So many sets.
The Dawning set was really nice.
Which
Talking
is
about Dawning?
Yeah. Is that your favorite? The Dawning set.
The Dawning Warlock set is my favorite piece. Like my favorite overall set in the entire game.
Nice. Gotcha. Do you still rock it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I had to delete the helmet because I needed it for a challenge that I was doing, and it was it hurt so bad.
Yeah.
But I needed it. But I think I'll be able to use that because it's Eververse technically. Mm-hmm. I think I'll be able to use it the whole transmod thing coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll be good.
I think a passive benefit of this whole Armor 2.0 system is that our collections are going to be fixed. I think we're going to be able to pull out like a base version of whatever armor we want and start leveling that up. That would be awesome. Like with all the sets that I have, and if I just want to start leveling the perfect set that I have in my inventory currently, I'm going to be able to do that at the start of the season. That would be my hope.
Do you mean wait. Are you saying this leveling... old armor up as 2.0?
You know how you can't pull anything out of your collections right now because it has random rolls up?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I think passively this is going to have the added benefit of sort of neutralizing that because, you can pull it out.
Totally.
But you have to put in mods or whatever you want on it.
Totally. What I was getting at, we don't, like you said earlier, we don't know that you can use old armor.
I'm just
2.0.
guessing.
So you seem to be, you want that. Like, I guess I would want that ideally. Like if you have a favorite armor set, it working as 2.0 is the ideal. But that's what's so interesting about the ornament system is like, wait, it's the armor perks are not tied to what it looks like anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could just have, again, if your Solstice gear gives you everything you need perk-wise, but you can just apply the ornament, what's the difference?
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, why do you need everything? So
I
guess the perks system, you know what I mean? That's what you need.
So I don't think it's going to be like Eververse, you mouse over your ornament and just every armor set you've ever acquired is in there. You know, I think different, like the Eververse set that you end up getting, I think you're going to be able to ornament that to look like a few of the different Eververse sets that have
They said any legendary gear after Shadowkeep drops, they said any piece of legendary gear, you'll be able to apply any Eververse ornament to it.
Yeah.
So from my understanding,
I don't believe them.
From my understanding, anything in the game that you get that drops after Shadowkeep releases, you'll be able to put any Eververse ornament that you've acquired from your collections. Mm-hmm. That's what I understood. Now, what's interesting is for the new Armor 2.0, they haven't said that yet. They haven't said every piece of legendary gear. So it makes me believe that it might be tied to a little bit more specific activities to make it feel a little bit more special.
Yeah, like I want to talk about Iron Banner just a little bit, and we'll go over the news things that's sort of tied into all this. But one of my favorite sets is the Iron Banner set. And they did like a samurai look, and they did, you know, the wolves look and everything. And I really, really like that. It was one of the earlier armor sets that use the ornamentation system. You know, Crucible has it now, and there's all these different sets that have the ornamentation system. I'm just wondering how that's going to function in Armor 2.0. A note on Iron Banner, actually, talk about the news things really quick. We're going to get an emblem, and it's a laser through a skull, which looks amazing.
Yes.
If you played during the Prometheus Lens weekend when it was a nightmare. You were there, Clark.
Prismatic,
right?
Inferno.
I did not play.
You didn't play?
You're not gonna get it. I'm missing out. Yeah.
I mean, it's an emblem, but it's one of my.
Nah, it's dope.
I gotta give him a nod on this one.
It's.
But better luck next time for me, I guess.
And then the Lord of Wolves one is also coming around the corner. That's really nice. And if you're on the struggle bus like me in Iron Banner and you need those grenade kills, good news, the next time it shows up, grenade kills are going to have a 50% requirement reduction and swords will have a 25% requirement reduction.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What's interesting about that is I'm 50% of the way through that. Unfortunately, the change is not going to suddenly make it 100, I think. Right? I'll have to get still that last quote. 25% I'm missing.
Are you on the grenade thing?
Yeah, I'm on the grenade
thing. So did you clear that? Do you play a lot of PvP? I always watch your PvE stuff. You're doing all these crazy raid things. How much PvP do you play?
I enjoy quick play. Mm-hmm. I do not enjoy comp at all. I only play comp if there's something that I want or need. Same thing with Iron Banner. So like I played comp for Recluse. I played comp for Not Forgotten. But quick play I do actually enjoy. I'll play if there's just nothing else that I want to do. I'm like, oh, I'll just go in here. I don't really play Iron Banner. I only play Iron Banner if I need from it. Like I played last time it was available for the Swarm Grenade Launcher.
Nice.
But I already have it, so I haven't touched it yet this time around.
You got spike nades on it?
I do.
Yeah. Of course you do.
Why else would you have it equipped otherwise?
And then the last note is Heroic Menagerie will drop a sword for first time completion 100%. So that's a positive change.
I wish that was retroactive. We don't know if it is. I doubt it. You'll just have to.
Fran just wants everything.
I beat it is the point, and I didn't get the sword. I wouldn't.
Well, you'll get it next time you run it, right?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, glad. So while we have you on the show, I've been talking a lot about all your PvE triumphs over the years, and I have to ask you, what is the craziest thing that you've experimented with, and you're just like, man, I can't believe we pulled that off, and I'm super happy and proud that we did it. Like, your craziest triumph. Like, didn't you use all rockets once to kill the ogre in Last Wish? Was that you?
we jumped back across the bridge. So we spawned the fight. This was actually Sweatsicle's idea, so I want to make sure he gets credit. We spawned the fight, we collected all the orbs, and then right when DPS was about to start, when the final orb pops up for Morgoth, which is the Last Wish big ogre, we all jumped across with Dawnblade using Icarus Dash, and then we wore the chest piece with wings that makes you float when you ADS, and we just kept ADSing and then Icarus Dashing and ADSing, and we made our way all the way back across the bridge before you jump into the Taken portal, climbed up top, and used rockets to kill him from the other side of the bridge. That was pretty cool.
That's why you watch Gladden team. It's so much.
We just do a bunch of stupid stuff all the time, like every time we game, and people think it's cool to watch, and I get that question asked all the time, and it's so hard to just pinpoint one thing down. You know what I mean?
What's your most recent accomplishment, and then what's one that you look back fondly on? How about that?
Was the second thing you said?
What's your most recent accomplishment? And then what is something you look back fondly upon as, oh yeah, that was a good time.
Yeah, wait, I got a good setup for this. So for the most recent one, GLAAD is known for rage quitting. We know that GLAAD is a toxic... Okay, there's a story about it. So tell the story, GLAAD. Had a bad night, and you're playing Riven, and then what happened?
Dude, I put so much time into solo one floor Riven. So previous people were doing it on two floors and no one had done it on one floor. So a player called Ouch found that there was this glitch where if you activated Counter-Strike from Liar's Handshake and then picked up the Captain Orb in the Riven fight, every single melee applied the Counter-Strike buff to it instead of every other. So essentially I'm like, okay, well you're like 50, 60% doubling your damage here. I think you could one floor. So I went in and just day after day, just grinding and coming up with strats and over and just, you know, countless hours and then going to bed and waking back up and getting back on. I finally had everything down and I sort of knew what to do, a little bit of tweaking. And then all of a sudden, this randomly, my melee stopped registering on the boss. So they were doing full damage and the numbers were showing up, but the health bar wasn't moving and it was happening every single time, every run. So I got so mad and I've never done this before. And I just grabbed somebody from the directory, hosted them and was just like, bye. And just signed off.
And he's not known for that, for the record. Yeah. That's why it was so unusual.
No, I felt so bad. And I'm always really respectful to my viewers. And like, you know, I love my community to death and you know, they don't deserve anything like that. And I felt so bad. And I was just like, I'm so sorry, guys. I apologized the next day and came back. And I was like, okay, we're not going to go back in and do the one floor because the bug, I tested it again this morning. It doesn't work. So what we're going to do is we're just going to go to the regular Riven solo. I know you have to guess eyes here and there's a 50-50% chance that Riven comes over. So I told everybody, I literally said, so sit back, grab some popcorn, put on a movie, put me on the side. I was like, we might be here for a while, you know? So I go in, first time I died, second time Riven goes to the wrong side. So she has to come to your side. Then she finally comes to my side. I'm like, okay, here we go. And I'm like, I don't even know what to do. I look up and I shoot two random eyes. I just spray a pulse rifle. Both of them correct, first Jeez. Try. And my whole chat's like, no way. And if you watch the video, I shoot the eyes and I start running because I just assume I'm going to die. I kind of like give up. And then you see me whip my camera back and look at Riven and then look back. And then I'm just like, I was like, wait,
you did it.
What? Yeah, I was so confused. So then I just proceeded with the fight and I kind of knew like what to do. I hadn't practiced it though, you know, to do the whole Ascendant Realm, Final Stand, Heart. Mm-hmm. I kind of had an idea from watching people. So I just made sure I made all my correct gear swaps and first tried the second floor, first tried Ascendant Realm, first tried Final Stand, first tried Heart, and got it done first try.
And that was your first solo Riven, obviously.
That was my first solo Riven, first attempt ever. Yeah. To put that in perspective, people have been grinding that for 20, 30, 40, 50 hours. Now, given I was abusing the Counter-Strike thing, which does make it a little bit easier, but people mostly fail that due to RNG. Mm-hmm. And I got a first try. So I was trying to rub it in people's faces so bad. I immediately got on the phone and called Slayer and I was like, get in my chat right now.
I was going to say Slayer Age had been trying to do this for a long time.
Oh, he was like, I can't hear. I'm like, just get in my chat, hurry up. And then I got Clyde and I was like, Clyde, join my Discord because he was trying it too. And I was like, hey, first try, buddy, because he had been working.
They must have been so upset.
So yeah,
so that was the most recent memory.
That's pretty cool.
That was the most recent. Yeah,
probably right.
And like you've been world's first for raids too, right?
Yeah. So as a clan, we have 5 world's first. Mm-hmm. That does include the prestige versions. We have 3 normal modes. But in order, it was Wrath of the Machine, Prestige Leviathan, Spire of Stars normal, Prestige Eater of Worlds, and Last Wish normal. I think that's an order.
Nice.
Yeah, sounds something right like that.
I remember something about 2 minutes. I'm not sure what that was, but
Data.
That was somebody else.
Oh gosh.
Poor Data.
Bring that up.
Yeah. He'll get one. Not only did he get the 2402 for Last Wish, but then he got the biggest jabate of all time ever for Crown of Sorrows. I mean, you got to feel bad for him.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
He literally, the game dropped his entire fire team, the world's first exclusive gun. They clearly messed up.
Yeah.
I guess there's like a switch and they turn it off once the first team completes it.
Maybe.
And they didn't turn it off for Data because this whole team was second. And
it was so close, I think. Yeah, it's funny. He was on Destiny Community Podcast with us before or after you last time. And I, you know, sometimes I'm just interviewing and I was like, and so where did you place? And he's like, are we doing this? Are we going to do this here? Because he like, he had that rage. He also raged. But I was just like interviewing. I was like, okay. I was not messing with you. I was just like trying to have you let everybody know. They didn't know that you got second place, but he was still triggered by it. It was great. I mean, that was like a week later, so it was very fresh wounds.
Well,
but yeah, no, we have a just, I love the dudes that I play with. We have a super solid group. People, we've just been playing together for so long. You know, particularly Modern, Flesh, and Error have been playing together for a really long time. I mean, like what? 5 years, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I play with Chevy and Sweat all the time, and that's our squad right now. And prior to Chevy, Indica was on our team, and we played a lot together, which we haven't played recently, so hit me up, buddy, if you do listen to this. But but yeah, I mean, you know, we just, no secrets, we just play together all the time, and we understand each other's brains and how we work and what moves we're gonna make, and that's it.
Yeah. Sometimes I catch your streams when I'm just like, you know, just chilling at the apartment. I'll put it on the TV or whatever. But definitely for Last Wish, because I was running in that one with my crew. We were at Riven. We were right there. And I just, you know, eventually for your own health, sometimes you just got to call it. Yeah. And so we called it, but I still stayed up and I watched you complete it. And that was pretty awesome.
Kudos to that. That was brutal.
Yeah.
Riven was very hard day one.
Yeah.
Everything was had a red sword next to it.
Yep.
Ugh.
Every single thing.
Every single enemy. It took like 3 bursts from a rampage pulse rifle to kill a single Scion. It was just like, oh my god.
Sounds about right.
Things that now you just one shot.
Yep.
Let's take a minute and look forward at some of the news about Soul Silver Heroes. We didn't even go over it. I just realized I'm like, oh, I never really asked.
Yeah, we only talked about Armor 2.0 out of all that.
Yeah, so we talked about Armor 2.0. Fran, did you get a chance to read the update?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, why don't you take people through some of the notes that I laid out here
about
what they can expect when Soul Silver Heroes drops.
It starting right here, right?
Yeah, the whole shebang.
So yeah, exactly. In addition to us finding out that the armor that you earn, which you'll take through stages as part of Solstice, I think it starts, you know, as like a drain set, and you move on and eventually earn this legendary set, and you can masterwork it, which I think we'll hear about later.
We'll talk about that later because it's a little spoilery. It's been data mined out, and I want to give you guys a chance not to hear it in case you like to be surprised. I know Fran's sensitive about that stuff sometimes, so I want to be courteous.
I care about less, so I appreciate it, though. But the big thing is that, yeah, there's going to be these orbs now that are dropping as part of Solstice. And so basically there's an arc, a solar and void orb that's going to drop. And basically there's going to be elemental buffs that are applied depending on when you power up with, what is it, 30 of them. And so you need to equip your subclass as well as an energy weapon of the same type, I think, to get these orbs to drop. And it has these buffs. Did you list actually what the buffs
were? Yeah, the buffs are down here.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, here, let me take you through them real fast. So if you're getting all these orbs, the solar elemental buff.
Once you get 30 of the orbs, you get this buff
for a period of time.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Until you die or a period of time.
Yeah. Until you die. That's correct.
It's probably like a day.
A period of time. It lasts for a day. I don't think it lasts that long.
I would assume it would be like 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, really?
I would assume it wouldn't be too long. I mean, these seem to be pretty easy to make.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it depends how easy they are to make. Yeah. I mean, because if you think about it, everything. It could be a couple hour thing, I guess.
See, I didn't think it was going to. You blew my mind on that. I was picturing, like you said, Glad, like whether it's 5 minutes or even. But let's listen to the buffs and then, you know, you guys take away what you will from it. But so for solar, if you get that elemental buff, while you're empowered with this solar buff, Guardians will emit a burning wave of energy that damages anything around them.
Definitely a day.
Yeah, exactly. So when I read that, what does
that
mean?
It's probably a minute. because
that's
these
like
orbs
running into enemies on fire, right? And they're so like,
remember, these orbs are popping out constantly. So I imagine as long as you're like continually refreshing, you could probably just hold on to it for a significant amount of time.
Yeah, but if you get a singular buff and you don't pick any other orbs up, these things sound really powerful, and they want you to use them in the new activity, which I'm sure we'll talk about. Yeah. And I feel like they would be something that would be a very short time. I don't know. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I feel like it would be short as well. So here's what the Void Elemental buff does. Let me just say right now, by the way, this won't work in comp, and it won't work in Gambit Prime.
Oh.
So just in case people are like, wait a second, let's just get to that part of it. Like, don't worry. It seemingly will work in Quick Play and Crucible, though, but we were talking about this the other day. And like, generating 30 orbs, even in Banner or Crucible, I don't think that's going to be an easy task. You won't have this for long if you earn it. But anyway, so the Void Elemental buff, if you crouch while you're empowered, you will become invisible and gain true sight plus enhanced ability regeneration.
What is it with Bungie and the crouch mechanic?
I know.
They just got to put all these like buffs on crouching.
Well, it's a button, right? So meaning how else would you activate true sight? So they just have you crouch to do it, I guess?
I think this one, you can like run, slide, activate it, then go about your way. But I'm just every time I hear crouch, I'm like, oh, another crouch thing. They're firmly really planted. Married to this crouch thing.
Yeah. Anyway. It's kind of like an additional button for you. The arc one, I personally think is exciting, but I can't wait to hear what you guys have to say about these three.
One floor Riven.
Right. Oh, this is it then. Okay. So while you're empowered with the arc elemental buff, you will move with it with enhanced speed and deal greater melee damage and sword damage. So maybe just start with Glad on that one. Is that the one you're most excited about?
Oh, heck yeah. The only thing that stinks is you lose it if you die.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you gotta
Riven
get those
going,
30 orbs too.
Well, with Riven going 50-50, what I was thinking is if she doesn't come to the correct side, you just go to orbit and fly back in.
Yeah, that's a lot of downtime.
Instead of dying. It is. So it would make it a pain. But basically, once she comes to your side, you just can't mess up and you just got to do it.
Depends on the window you have, too. Because like if the buff's like 30 minutes, you're probably good to do a few Riven attempts, you know.
But it would be nice because you could just collect the buff and then go into the fight. And then if she doesn't go to your side, go to orbit, fly back in.
Yeah. I think it's 5 minutes.
It's funny, I hadn't even considered how long it would last until you guys brought it up. So
I don't know.
I think it would be short. These sound pretty
30
powerful.
Would be like max. But no, that arc one is insane, particularly because everything lines up with currently the most overpowered build in Destiny right now, which is the Hunter 1-2 punch times 3 combination blow Liar's Handshake on top of this arc elemental buff. The fact that they put the melee one on the arc almost makes me think that they did this on purpose. Because why else would it be, you know, like not only does arc match up with this, but it's the melee damage as well. And that build right now is ridiculously fun to mess with. So this is going to make things very interesting.
It does say short time. So that could be seconds, that could be 60 seconds, that could be 5 minutes. I don't know what their definition of short time.
I was thinking literally like a minute or two, like, or less, you know. It sounds like they're pretty powerful, so like have a little fun with it.
It is powerful.
But then, yeah, you have to get back out and generate the orbs, and that's like the loop of it. I was trying to remember, didn't Verdant Forest, right? Didn't you get that buff? Was it the Verdant Forest?
Verdant?
Verdant? Oh, God.
What? I'm from Wisconsin. No. I grew up in Wisconsin.
Do you also say menagerie?
Yeah.
It's menagerie. But I was trying, wasn't there a buff with that carried over? And there was like one of the.
Oh, yeah. You could bring it in the Crucible and everybody was
exactly.
Mad.
How long did that.
You're talking about Revelry?
You would pop that.
Revelry. Sorry. That was it.
You could literally pop that and then go in.
The tonic. That was it.
Yeah.
How long did that last? That was a while.
It was a while. Yeah.
Yeah, well.
It was not a short time. It was enough to like go into Crucible for half an hour.
It's probably different.
I like these a lot. The more exciting thing though on this list, Fran, definitely for me. These buffs are going to be great. They're going to be a lot of fun for PvE, potentially PvP activities, but let's talk about that new activity.
Yeah.
Glad. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So the new activity, what is it called here? So we're going to be visiting a new area, the European Aerial Zone, the EAZ. And it looks like we're going to be fighting one of three enemies, Hive, Cabal, or Fallen enemies, which is nice because we have Hive armaments and Fallen armaments, but we're looking for those Cabal armaments. But so it's a three player match made activity, and it'll be launched either from the tower or the director. So it'll be very similar to, like you said, the Verdant, it sounds like. However, the way that they worded this is your goal is to defeat as many mini bosses as possible before time expires. When the time does run out, you'll face off against a final boss. And once he's defeated, you'll be set out to search for a bunch of treasure chests that will be dependent on how many mini bosses you defeated. So more mini bosses, more chests. And you'll be able to find these keys to open the chest, from what I remember, from any activities that you play in the game. So it seems like you, as you play any activities in the game, you know, Strikes, Crucible, this new activity, you'll get these keys as well. So you'll be able to farm up keys, go into this activity, slay mini bosses, open up a bunch of chests, get a bunch of loot.
Please don't put the keys in my consumable tab. just put it in the pursuits tab. Absolutely fine.
Wait, you want keys to be in pursuits? Your
tab?
Or do you have it backwards?
I think the pursuits tab is okay. Your consumables, like your tokens.
Oh, you're just worried about it filling up.
It'll fill up.
Oh, I see.
Absolutely.
It's funny.
You run into that problem all the time.
Yeah, no, you're right on that front. It's the using the pursuits tab is like crazy. Like, you want the
I hate it.
Yeah.
The thing is, if you get a key in your pursuits tab, you'll never need to like go into your pursuits tab and then implement it and then open the chest. Yes. It'll just be there. You open the chest, it goes
away.
It's
going to be consumables. Right? Don't get your hopes up.
I hate the pursuits tab so much.
Oh, yeah. I think everybody does.
Everybody does. I don't understand why they don't change it back.
It's like when Xbox updated its dashboard. You know, you're like, oh, God, why did you change it? It was working so well. I mean, not that it didn't need
it. They're about to do it again.
I know. That's why I brought that up. But
I think it's going to be better.
Yeah, it just honestly, it just needs more organization. It's good. It's got a couple filters. But I'll look for my chalice, and it's just somewhere different every time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I hate that. Last time we did this, you could end up in that infinite forest loop basically as long as you wanted. Like, it wasn't particularly difficult.
Well, kind of. Multiple teams tried to go to 1,000, including myself, and it would kick people out. You get error coded.
Oh, really? Oh,
it's like the memory.
Yeah, so it happened to every team that got right around 550, 560 rounds, it would kick them. Yep.
Interesting.
I think Bungie's like, we don't expect people to stay in that long. We figure like they're either gonna quit or whatever. That's cool that you guys tried that though.
Yeah, we tried to get to 1,000 and multiple teams failed and we just never tried again.
Yeah. But I wonder if it's gonna be like that again. What do you think? Do you think they're just gonna let us stay in there forever? Because sorry, go ahead.
Previously it was rounds. So the first time that we had it, the haunted one. It was rounds that you had to complete.
Yeah. You had to kill enemies to get time.
Specific time.
Realistically,
the more rounds.
You needed like 20. Realistically, you needed like 20 for like the hardest version of it, right? I think it was like 20, 25. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. And then you had to set time limit and you had to do as many rounds, like as high. It was like a high round. Mm-hmm. As many rounds as you could get in the time limit, then it would immediately send you to the boss. The second time we got it, it was. Every time you completed a round, it added time onto your thing. So it wasn't a set time anymore. So you could do as many rounds you wanted. Once you hit a certain round, it was diminishing returns. Then you could just launch into the boss fight, but you could theoretically do it forever. This one talks about just mini bosses. So this one says you want to defeat as many mini bosses before the time expires. So it makes me think that it's not going to be rounds of mobs. Mm-hmm. It makes me think that it's going to be mini boss fight with a set timer. So I don't think you're going to be able to stay in there forever, but instead of rounds of mobs, it's going to be mini bosses. And then it takes you to a final boss when the time runs out.
Yeah.
So that is exciting to me for sure. Because who doesn't like boss fights in Destiny? You know, I'd rather fight bosses than, you know, little dreg stuff.
What if the more mini bosses you kill, the more bars the boss has and the stronger it gets, the more resilience it builds up.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that was the one thing, thinking about it, like with the Verdant Forest, it's not like each section scaled. It actually became an ammo economy thing, if I remember, more than anything. And like once you had the method down, like you guys figured it out, glad you could just kind of go infinitely, probably.
Yeah, because it never got more difficult.
Yeah, it was never more difficult.
It was always the same, yeah.
Had that to make the right issue. Choice with your ammo probably more than anything.
Yep.
But with this, do we think the mini bosses are going to scale up? Is that how they get you to only go so far? Or, like, in other words, what?
I think it's a time.
Yep.
I think it's straight.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I bet you they put just a straight 7-minute timer.
Like on all the mini bosses, for example. And it's like, you just have to tear through them in this time as fast as possible.
In 7 minutes.
And then you're going to the boss.
Yeah.
Probably.
And the more that you defeat, it rewards you for optimization of mini boss line.
I like that.
That makes sense, because when you think about it as like, yeah, it's not like the Infinite Force. It's just a three-player activity, and even under the guise of like Menagerie, even that has a sort of proposed time limit on it. You know, you can only go for so long until you fill everything up and finish it. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. I like it.
There's no scaling, though.
Yeah, I am excited to check out the new space and see what the new mode's going to be like. Is it match-made? I didn't put it in my notes, but it's on the weekly update. Is this a three-player match-made activity?
I'm pretty sure it's match-made, yeah.
It is.
It is, 100%. Yeah.
That's what I thought. So that's great. That is, well, it lasts a month, right? Is it going to go away after that? And if so,
yeah,
why? If it's really fun?
You know? I don't think it's going to be a necessary like activity. Do you want Verdant Forest right now? Like, I don't mind it, but it's going to split up the player base and the rewards aren't there, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's not whether it's good or bad. It's just, I like having a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah.
You know, and one more thing to do. I don't see how that's negative, but you're right. They are having problems with Menagerie population right now because they reduced the drops, and that's all stuff that
I don't want to talk about that. Not happy.
Did you get your one drop per run this week?
Yeah, no, I didn't.
You got three powerful drops.
That's a salty area for me.
Do you have the god rolls that you need out of Menagerie?
No,
you don't.
I didn't get. I got the hand cannon that I wanted.
Oh, good. The Alstream.
That's it. That is it.
Yeah.
Are
you are you not running it because you're salty about it? I'm gonna. Yeah, I know.
I'm not. It's not like I'm boycotting it. I'm not running it because it's not worth my time.
Glad boycotts Menagerie here on Twitter. You heard it here first.
That's a great.
I'm not running it because it's just the time investment is. It just doesn't feel rewarding.
I agree. I don't know.
Let me paint a picture for you. What if you are 7:45? And you need a few more powerful drops in very specific slots.
That's different.
Okay, yeah, sure.
That's different.
That's who it's for, I think.
So talking about Menagerie to level is something that people that are leveling, it's good. You can pick and choose what you need to help bump your character up, which is a great, great thing.
So let me cut you off. In that respect, do you like it?
In that respect, absolutely. For people leveling up, yes. Leveling up for sure.
And I think
it's a wonderful loot system.
We can all find common ground that is positive. I would like to see them continue to grow that philosophy. But
like I said earlier about builds being introduced into the game, what Menagerie did when you were able to loot the chest, let's just say two or three times, maybe not as much as you were able to, you're able to start thinking about pieces of gear that you want. You're able to start min-maxing, you know, I need this specific perk on this, I need this specific perk on this. And what Menagerie allowed you to do was to spend your time farming this activity, min-maxing your gear, looking for very specific perks to get to put together these really interesting, more powerful builds in Destiny. And by nerfing it to one chest, now your motivation to run this activity to farm for those specific pieces of gear is pretty much just thrown away because your chances of getting what you want are so slim. And I don't like how they pulled away. I'm not saying that it should go back to the way that was. Mm-hmm. I'm saying give us 2-3 if you like 100% every single room. If you do every room perfectly, throw like 3 down.
So I'm gonna press you on this a little bit because you say you're not boycotting it. Now, I think you are, and here's why I think that. Well,
he's just not going to do it.
No,
that's
I
not
know,
boycotting.
But okay, but this is a guy that like he spends like whatever 7 to 10 hours like mastering, you know, a raid. Now there is value in that, like it's world's first stuff, and I wouldn't discount that. But my question is like, is there a weapon that you really want a god roll out of Menagerie still? And if so, can you name that? Like, is it the sniper? Is it what else do we want out of there?
Sniper shoddy.
Or the shoddy. Like, is maybe that's the, in other words, what keeps you, where I'm leading with this is, why not run it like 3 times because of the speed? And
I do. I run it 3 times on each character.
Okay,
so 9 times every week. But I only run it because I want the mods.
That's the only reason. You said you weren't running it though. So okay, you're doing what I thought.
I'm running it, but I'm not farming it.
He's running it begrudgingly.
So no, but this is what's interesting. So that's a great point of clarification, though. You are playing it as it's largely intended. We were using it as a farm. By the way, I'm not defending that, just in case, because this is where everybody's usually. I'm back, everybody. Fran the shill. People write this in the comments. I'm not saying I like where it's at. I'm with you. I barely run it now, and I think the population's dipped, and there's stuff to address. However, all I wanted to posit and put out there was, you really can't get this kind of guaranteed loot, whether you need the power or you're like, I want a God roll sniper. Where else can you go and like design your, you need, you can like guarantee you're going to get range even on, you know, a hand cannon or whatever. So it's pretty powerful. But yeah, I'm with you that more than 3 to 9 times a week, like, I don't want to do that.
I think it's a system that is a great system that they're going to continue to build into and allow us to experiment with. I think this is just the early version of it.
Yeah,
no, it was never supposed to be farmed. I don't think they're going to fix it either. I don't think they're going to be like, hey, we fixed Menagerie, because by the time Shadowkeep comes out, we're going to be totally focused on other topics.
Exactly, and we would have burned it to the ground is the other problem. And I think that's why we all agree, and to use your phrase before, common ground. I think we're on common ground that like 2 or 3, we all kind of feel just a little more would be nice. But I would at least share.
2 or 3 would have been perfect.
Yep.
Yeah. What they had was too much. Factor. What they did now is way too little. I think they should have middle grounded it. And
yeah.
I don't know. I love that activity, and it just, I hate
that.
We
loved it so much, and it got us so much good stuff. Like, it was just, we mainlined it. That's the word I use. Like, we were just like, yes, like, give me more. And we just were, going to, like, suck the life out of it until we
got but sometimes there's nothing wrong with loot drops. Yeah. And I think Bungie needs to realize that dumping a lot of loot on people isn't always a bad thing. And I think Menagerie did that perfectly.
Yeah.
Now,
I agree
with- Now, dumping like raid gear and stuff on people for not even playing activities, that's different. That's a little bit, you know, but Menagerie, when you're farming for such specific items, and farming is something that Destiny players love.
Yeah.
And introducing something into the game that we were able to farm like this and actually have fun doing, and we were able to matchmake while doing it, so we didn't have to have all of our friends home. It was just all these stars aligned for such a wonderful thing. And then I just feel robbed almost.
You know what I mean? We're all on the same page. Like, it's fun to farm. I think Bungie has, I guarantee you that they've learned that and are trying to figure out how to balance it. Because what they have implemented now, like, that is the design of Destiny. That, and what I'd share is I came back from, you know, Guardian Con and a little time off with the family, and I hopped into Menagerie for the first time, and I was a little like, I'm like, I don't, whatever, I'm screwed now. I missed the farm, you know? And I actually got to the chest, and I forgot, like, I was like, I didn't even put my runes in. I'm like, what am I?
You have all the time in the world.
So thankfully, tons of time. Yeah. Such a Fran moment. I'm like, oh, I got like 250 seconds. I'll just deliberate forever. So I popped in my runes for Beloved, and lo and behold, moving target, snapshot. Oh, my God, I got exactly what I needed.
But
the feeling, because I already had set up mentally that, like,
I'm
never going to get it. I was so much more excited than when I got an item farming. I got so many Owl Stringers, and like, you know, I didn't get the God roll, but even had I got one that's really close. I was like, sweet, I got it. But when I got this Beloved and it was out of like the chasm of I'm not going to get anything, I was like, holy cow. And I think that is the Bungie philosophy that they got to take away from this, is how do they keep the fun, keep us happy farming, but also not take away the like the thrill of those moments, you know? Like, the first one I ever have was playing Vault of Glass hard mode, and Vex Mythic Class and Praetus Timepiece dropped at the same time or something. I was just, my mind was, like, blown. And to have those moments is still really important. Anyway, sorry. We mentioned Menagerie. This was bound to happen.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just talk spoilers really quick. So, basically, for that Armor 2.0 set, going back to the beginning of the show, I did want to bring up that... there's been a data mine. People have sort of figured out the quest steps required to masterwork it. So if you don't want to hear it, seriously, give me like 30 seconds. I'm just going to go over them really quick. Prestige Nightfall, 200,000 or better. I like that. It's more than 100,000. It's a challenge. Complete playlist strikes with clanmates.
That's tough,
so on that one. Yep. Do Shattered Throne with the fire team of 2 players or fewer. And this is rumored data mine stuff. This could change.
Yeah.
Who knows? Reset your season 7 Valor ranking in the Crucible. Easy enough. You can do that in comp quick play. And defeat challenging combatants throughout the system. You could probably do that in the activity. or maybe it means raids, who knows. But how do you feel about this for masterworking your set?
I think we should hear from Glad.
Seems fine to me, personally.
I mean, it's what I expect. Mm-hmm. When, if I remember from last season, every single piece of gear, helmet, gloves, chest, boots, bond, mm-hmm. or mark, or whatever class item.
They weren't...
It required kind of similar things, but I feel like these are a little bit more in depth with the activity. But I remember you had to do like activities in the game to complete them. So it's what I expect. I mean, indifferent towards it, I guess.
I don't mind. Me too. I'm just kind of like, all right, that's what I need to do. And there's five of them. I assume one for each piece of gear. And that's how you masterwork it. There's, of course, other steps to upgrade your armor before this, but they're all pretty standard. Just like do stuff in the game. And those all seem good.
Wait a minute, though. This is for the Solstice set, right?
This is for that version of the set, Masterwork.
Right.
Yeah.
What I'm thinking about is, okay, it's July 27th. What is it?
You get a month.
26.
To do all.
You get a month, but then you pick up the version of this 2.0 at the Gunsmith. I mean, aren't you going to have to like level that up and Masterwork it?
Have you played Destiny before, Fran? Because that's kind of a circular thing. It continues.
But in other words, wait. First, let's just tackle that. When you pick up the new armor 2.0 of this set, so you'll have the old one, but pick up the new one, do you think it's going to be masterworked for you?
I have no idea.
Yeah, well, do you see where I'm going?
I just hope that people don't miss Shattered Throne when it comes around.
Right?
Yeah, there you go. That's a good point because you'll have this chance.
Because that happened for something before where
quest?
People had.
No.
No, no. Izanagi, was it? Something required you to do Shattered Throne and people
missed it.
I think it was Izanagi. You might be right about that.
Glad froze. We might have to call him back in.
Yeah. Give him a second. I might reconnect. But yeah, man, I guess the point I was trying to make was if you're going to, well, some people want to have this masterwork now and I get it, but I'm wondering how that's going to work if, it, you know, bear in mind this is data mine, but like you can just pick up Armor 2.0 and work on that on the 17th, which we're 51 days away or something from that as of recording this. And by the time you finish this, you'll be 20 some days or something. So I don't know.
I'm not worried about it. It's going to be something to do to fill the gap.
Yeah,
I
something
like
to
that.
Do.
It's a month and yeah, it'll be good. I've largely been playing Destiny pretty light right now because there's not a ton of new stuff to be chasing. I mean, there is. There's tons of stuff to do.
I'm so behind.
But like for me, like I signed on, did a few Iron Banner things. Now that I know the grenade requirement's going to be reduced, I'm like, all right, I'll just wait till last week and do it then because it's annoying. grenade kills are rough for me. So that's where I'm at with it. I'm worried we're going to run out of tape. I don't mean to like rush the show along. I kind of like
the actual recording time is
the recording time for Glad's perspective. I'm worried about going over on that. So I had some fan questions, and I wanted to ask. Well, we had Glad here, so. From Insomnia Bound, he says, what is your typical raid preparation like before a big raid? Glad, take it away.
Yeah, so this might come to a surprise. We don't really prepare. we just sort of say, all right, guys, we hop into a Discord maybe the night before, and we say, all right, make sure you guys are in here at this time, like half hour before. We don't practice. We don't purposely play together. Like, we've known each other, as I said earlier, for so long, and we've been playing together for so many years that it's just like when you're picture like your best friend, you move away from your best friend and then you see him a year later. It's like you never, you know, it's like you guys never left each other. You're just like, what's up, dude? You just get right into normal conversation. Mm-hmm. That's exactly how we are. You know, our both of our teams are just such good, you know, we had all of our group hanging out at Guardian Con in our house this year. And it was just like, we already knew each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what about we don't really prepare. We don't practice.
What about food? What do you do about food?
Food.
That's a good
food.
Question.
Yeah.
So me personally, I am very much into lifting and, you know, health and fitness and stuff like that. And I do the ketogenic lifestyle. I've been doing it for 5-6 years now.
So meal prep.
So I wake up before raid day. Like 2 hours before, I go work out for about 30-45 minutes, come back, make usually like some sort of something not too heavy, probably like bacon and eggs.
Yeah,
I'm not going to do a 24-ounce steak because I don't want to have to use the bathroom during the raid, you know. And then I usually get there's this product called Duke's Smoked Shorty Sausages.
Oh, yeah.
And they are outstanding. And I always have them for raid days. I always have a huge bag. I order them off of their website.
It's meat.
Now we all know your sponsor, sausages.
They are so good. Like, if you have never had them, Duke Smoked Shorty Sausages. If you like spicy food, they have a they have a spicy, just a regular spice one. Can't even remember.
Speaking my language.
I happen to have a bag right here.
It's funny. I do the same thing that if you've heard of Ostrim, you probably have in that world. It's just like ostrich or elk and mixed with beef. It's like lean.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, same thing. Those are the best rate snacks.
So these Dukes are not lean at all. They're very high. They're very high in fat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're very high in fat, and that's why I eat them. So as you can imagine, things that are very high in fat tend to be tastier.
Yeah.
So they're not as like they're not as like jerky and as dry. They're more super juicy and have fat in the middle. They're just outstanding.
I'm gonna look these
10 out of 10.
Fran, did you do any raid prep for the last raid besides sausage making?
Yeah, I mean, unlike Glad, who's just like, it's in his DNA and his muscle memory at this point, he can hop into a new raid with the team that, you know, used to playing with. Definitely, yeah, like, well, I played with DCP, so the prep was mostly just on my end, which was, number one, I got to clear my vault out, and that is the hardest thing to do. But aside from that, I do take the time to look at my, you know, armor and perks probably more than anything. And then, of course, you just got to make sure that your gear that you need potentially is ready to be leveled up. And that's the, if you haven't done this before, I don't know, you know, how you guys do it, but it's like, you might jump in and be like, oh, I'm going to level this up and level this up. And anyone who's done these will be like, wait, don't do that. Have it ready. And also assume that if you use dim can be down.
Yeah.
So have stuff on other characters and ready.
That'll work.
You could run in it, or that way you don't have to run back to the vault and little things like that. But overall, nothing too far beyond that.
I have an
Go ahead. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
I have an insanely methodical spreadsheet that Teddy helps us make.
Oh, if Teddy
and like
helped,
we min-max out like our path for time and everything for the last raid. And I make sure to clean my vault. We stacked bounties. We did the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, and, I did a ton of bounty stacking. I hated
that. Yeah, we did all that. I hope they figured out like a good place to just make it even keel, because honestly, it's annoying.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a super fun way to do it.
Yeah.
I like the puzzle element of it a lot, like figuring out how to solve for that. But beyond that, it's kind of like, I'd rather just like, just give me a starting point and I can go on.
I think they're getting there with contests and the way that we found out when we jumped in. We could have just played Menagerie and got those bounties, I think, and we would have been good.
Glad, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, yeah, I guess I took that question a little bit of a different direction.
No,
but
it's
as
fine.
Far as like prep for gear, mm-hmm. I mean, just, you know, same thing everybody else does. If you can stack bounties, we're doing it. Mm-hmm. If all your power drops, this last one was very methodical, the order that you had to do everything. But, you know, my character alone, I make sure that for a new raid, I always have a ranged loadout and then a backup close quarter loadout. So usually for new raids, I go in with a pulse rifle, which I don't normally use. Hand cannons are much better in PvE usually. I go in with a pulse rifle because I assume that I'm going to be under leveled and playing at a distance is going to be safer for me. Now, if I come into an encounter where I'm like, okay, pulse rifles just are completely useless here, then I'll always have a hand cannon as a backup, hand cannon, shotgun, or, you know. So I always have two loadouts ready to go.
What's your favorite exotic hand cannon? There's so many.
My favorite exotic hand cannon?
Yeah.
I mean, I got Ace of Spades is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I love it good. Still.
I hate
even though they quote nerfed it, but it's really not. It's like
I know
not a big
I
deal.
Still use it, it's, and I'm
yeah,
bad
I still
at
use
PvP.
It too. Just don't put it away. Just keep it out.
I would
don't stow it.
I would go as far to say that Ace of Spades is worse in the Crucible than Lord of Wolves is, even with how bad
it's.
Lord of Wolves
it
is.
Just feels so nice to fire. Yeah. I don't know. It's just
it's,
so
it's
good.
A really nice gun. It's nice that they kept it exotic though. So
yeah, just a clean weapon. I like it.
Last question really quick, just because, again, limited on recording time over there. I keep looking over. I'm like, is this
do you want me to go over and look?
It's all good. No, it's okay. Last question. Besides exotic hand cannons, what other weapon type do you want to see a new exotic of? And if you have an idea for the park, let us know. Glad, is there any exotic not currently in the game?
Oh, gosh. So I guess I would like to see more things like Wardcliffe coil rocket launchers and Anarchy grenade launchers.
Because they're weird, right?
They're different. Mm-hmm. It's like Wardcliffe coil is a rocket launcher, but you're shooting volley missiles, and Anarchy is a grenade launcher, but you're shooting sticky things
trigger
that emit
or
electricity between them. I just like how those guns are so off the wall, so bizarre, and it Yeah, and Bungie has shown over and over again that they do not lack in the creativity department, mm-hmm. and I would like to see more stuff like that. So specifics, no, but I would love to see another fusion rifle that just, you know, like 1K, for
yeah,
example.
Yeah, I was going to say yeah. 1,000 That's Voices absurd. Was a great example. Yeah. It was so weird.
It's like it plants a solar, like,
explosion line.
Yeah, on the ground, and then it waits a second, and then it detonates yeah. in a big thing. It's insane, you know? And I would like to see more stuff like that, where it's not just your typical prospector, where, you know, grenade launcher, mm-hmm. full auto, does a lot of damage. I would like to see things that are more creative.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Fran?
And not hand cannons.
Yeah, sorry. I was thinking about exotics. What was the...
Can you think of a weapon type, at least, that you're like, man, I really want an exotic of that weapon type that we currently don't have, or more of... I'll tell you, yeah. I'll give you a second.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love Thunderlord. I keep peeking on the mic. Sorry.
It's all right. Nobody else knows.
So I love Thunderlord. I love machine guns, and I would really, really like another exotic machine gun. But if I can't get that, sidearms. Sidearms need more.
Oof.
I'm kidding. I hate sidearms.
I was like, he can't be serious.
No. Yeah, probably machine guns. I just love machine guns. We have truth.
Well, you're getting
one. We got our tracking
with a bug
rocket.
In it.
Huh?
So you say you're getting one with a bug inside.
Oh, yes. So you're right.
Your wish came true.
All right. I
Hive
did it.
Tech.
You're welcome, Internet.
No, I love machine guns, going all the way back to Destiny 1. But I think Glad's answer was the best. Nailed just the fantasy weapons. In other words, not a kind to expect. Like, you could say sidearm, but what we really want is a sidearm that does something completely bizarre. And that's
that you have to learn how to use.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, scouts, we haven't seen since Mita, or Mita, however you say it.
Will you have the one that hip fires, the lob that lobs the grenades? What's that thing called?
Sunbreaker's Oath, I think. No, Sunbreaker's
Skyburners.
Skyburners. Yeah.
I would like to see, just because it's near and dear to my heart, though, I love fusions and the way that Loaded Question feels, but also the explosiveness of Sunshot. Like, but sticking with fusions, like, there's something there. Like, I could just see this explosive beam of light that, like, cuts through everything. And anyway, something with fusions, again, I realize what Super Simulant is, but it doesn't have the explosiveness. Yeah, like, what if you shot through multiple enemies, but they all exploded and it reflected? And anyway, I think there's some wild stuff you could do.
So for you, it's more about the perk.
It's that everybody loves Dragonfly and whatever it's called now. Firefly.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, just so we don't run out of tape, Glad, thank you so much for joining us. I love seeing your tweets of the crazy stuff that you've done during the day and checking out your streams when you're grinding. For those who don't know, where can they watch you?
twitch.tv/glad, that's GLADD, always with the double D's. YouTube at Glad as well, and then Twitter at Glad on Twitch.
Yeah, and Fran, it's good to see you again.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
Thanks for making the trek across town and stopping by the studio.
I appreciate it. Can I plug my stuff?
Yeah, go for it.
You can, of course, catch me as well on Twitch at FM3_. Thank you, everybody who supported me there. And I always throw out, if you want to support me in content creation, obviously I'm a DCP, by the way. I should have mentioned that. I almost got in trouble on that one. Destiny Community Podcast. You can check me out there every Thursday at 6 p.m. live on Twitch. But I was going to say, I'm also on the Epic Store, so it's a great way to support if you're on the Epic, playing Dauntless, Fortnite, or anything up there. Just Fran Mirabella, if you'd like to support me there. Thanks, everyone.
All right, Glad. At the end of the show, we all say Guardians out. So just do it a little bit faster because there's a delay on Discord. Let's see how this goes. I'll say until next time, and then we all say Guardians out. So let's just
and we point.
Let's just wing it, and we point at the camera. So just point at your camera. This is always fun to try and coordinate. It's really dorky. Fran thought of it.
I did.
But we love it. All right. So thank you, everybody, for joining us. Until next time, Guardians out.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.